In January of 1994, an earthquake lasting up to 20 seconds hit the San Fernando Valley in Los Angeles, California, causing $20 billion worth of damage, deaths of nearly 60 people. Much of the city was without power. Then later that night, and while there was no power, the Griffin Observatory began receiving calls about a strange sky, some silvery mist up in the sky, and they were wondering if that was the reason for the earthquake or was an effect, something that happened because of the earthquake. The director of the observatory was really confused about what was going on, and he went out and looked up at the sky, and here's the sky that he saw. And so what the people were seeing was actually the Milky Way for the very first time. They grew up in a city that is full of lights, and they had never seen the night sky so bright, and they didn't know what the Milky Way looked like. I think that's probably true for those city folks, but that's probably true for a lot of us country folks as well. There's so much light pollution here that unless you get away up to the mountain where Ryan was, you're not going to see the sky that might look that way. Today, I want us to begin a new series, and we're going to start in Genesis chapter 1 and talk a little bit about creation. In this series that we're calling The Great Story, we want to tell the whole story of the Bible, Genesis through Revelation, in 6 weeks. Now, let me kind of explain how we're going to do that. We're going to do this as if it was a story. And so today we're at Act 1 with creation. So I'm going to talk about Genesis 1 and a little bit of Genesis 2 today. Next week, we'll look at Genesis 3, and we'll talk about the fall as Act 2. And then I'm going on sabbatical, and I've given Kenny, he's going to preach that next Sunday from Genesis 4 to Malachi, just the rest of the Old Testament. That's all he's got. So I get Genesis 1 and Genesis 3, and he's got the rest of the Old Testament. And then the next week, he'll talk about the Gospels. And then the next week, he'll talk about the rest of the New Testament. And then I'll come back and preach on Revelation 22. So I get Genesis 1, 3, and Revelation 22. Kenny has the rest of the Bible to go through. In our 6 weeks program. We're going to have an intermission there toward the end of that as well. President-elect Daniel Overdorf from Johnson will be here on Mother's Day. And then that next Sunday will be a senior Sunday, so our high school seniors will preach, and then I'll preach about that end of the story. And so over these 6 weeks with a two-week intermission, we're going to talk about the whole story of the Bible. We want you to be caught up in this story. That this is part of your story, and you need to find yourself in the story as well. But it's a story about God. Today, we're going to look at Genesis 1, if you want to open your Bibles there today, Genesis chapter 1. And here's what our thesis is today. God, out of love, created us in his image to enjoy all the good that he created. God, out of love, created us in his image to enjoy all of the good that he created. So today we'll just read Genesis chapter 1, just the first four verses. Listen to what it says. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good and separated the light from the darkness. We'll stop right there. I imagine that most of you know this chapter. Even if you didn't grow up in church, this chapter or some aspect of this chapter is very well known. And it's even confusing when you read Genesis 1 and Genesis 2 back to back, because if you didn't know this, Genesis 1 order and Genesis 2 order of creation are quite different. That actually has thrown a lot of people for kind of a struggle there, because why does it do that? Why does it tell the order one way in Genesis 1 and a different way in Genesis 2? And we've got to begin to work out why and what the purpose of Genesis 1 and 2 are. If that's something that you didn't realize, that Genesis 1 and 2 were a little bit different in the way they tell the story, this is not the only time this happens in the Bible. Exodus 14 and 15 tell the same story in different ways. It's the story of the crossing of the sea when Moses parts the water. And Exodus 14 tells us what happens, and Exodus 15 tells it to us in a poetic form, a song, and so it tells it a little differently. We also see that in Judges 4 and 5. In Judges 4, Deborah is victorious as the judge, the leader of Israel. And Judges 5 tells the same story, but in a poetic way. And so we begin to see that this happens, that when it happens, usually one of those is a little more poetic. If you read Genesis 1, it fits the idea of a poem. It has a repetition. It has words that are repeating after other images that are repeating, style that is repeating in a very poetic or as if it was some sort of song. Some people go, oh, well, if Genesis 1 is a poem, then that means we don't take it literally. But that's not the way Hebrew poetry worked. Hebrew poetry, you is telling a story, and so you can follow along with the story. And so that brings us back to this question of, then what is the purpose of Genesis 1? And one of the struggles we have in our culture today, our scientific culture, is we look at Genesis 1 and we want to, okay, this is how the world was created. And we can follow along and go, this happened this way and this happened that way. The important part for us is to understand the why question is always more important than the how. And I think Genesis 1 tells us why more than it tells us how the earth came about. When we look at the creation account and we compare it to our modern stories, or even ancient cosmology, when we compare it to the mythologies of the past, we see quite a difference in the stories that they are telling. In ancient mythology, when we look at what happened in Mesopotamia with Marduk, or when we look at Egyptian and the gods that they worshiped, or even Greek mythology, we see that the world was created in some of those as if it was an afterthought. It came out of Tiamat, the sea serpent. The earth just happened to come out. And so when you view the world as an afterthought, it makes a big difference how you live your life. That's why in those ancient worlds, science was not as respected, because we're just here as an afterthought. Or social justice wasn't something that was valued, because we're just here as an afterthought. Matter of fact, we're looking for a different world to go to. That thought entered into Christianity as well, and we see that even in some people's beliefs even today, that it was part of what we believe. The problem with that is that's not the purpose of this, the reason why the Bible was put together, why Genesis 1 and 2 were put together. And on top of that, modern theology or modern storytelling says, well, we were just an accident. It just happened by accident, and we're going to end by accident. But again, that has a profound effect of how we live our life, if that's what you believe. Why would we care about what's going to happen to this world? Why would we care about what's going to happen to our neighbor? Just eat, drink, and be happy, because we are here by accident, and we're going to end by accident. And so this why question that we need to get to with this creation account is so important, because I think it begins to let us know how we are to live and how we are to treat this world and how we are to treat one another, and that there is an important reason, and it all revolves around this idea of why we are here. And so we look at Genesis 1, 1 through 4, and we begin to see very quickly that God created this world out of nothing, that he created it out of nothing, that it was purposeful for what he was doing. That's different than the way that you and I create. And matter of fact, the word created used of God is very unique, because when you and I create, we take things that are already in existence and we reshape them. But God created out of nothing. And then the Bible tells us that the Spirit hovered over the creation. Now that word hovering is one that we see of a mother bird fluttering or hovering over her young to take care of. And that begins to shine a light of not only by itself, it doesn't give us much, but it begins to move us in the direction of the love that God had, because he views what he has created as something precious and good and right. And then we began to see that God spoke. And every time he spoke, something happened. Something was created. And then John clues us into what that is. In John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, we read this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. And so John said, listen, that word that was at the very beginning that created over and over is this Jesus. And we saw his creative power that when he spoke, people were healed. When he spoke, people came back to life. That creative power that was there in Jesus was all the way back at the very beginning. And it was there when God spoke. And so we began to see not only is it God, but it's the Spirit. And now we add Jesus. There is this community that is creating. And so we look down in chapter 1 to verse 26. It says, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. Well, who's us? Isaiah 40 asks the question, who did God consult when he created the world? And the answer there is no one. And so if he consulted no one, then who is he talking to here? And it's this Trinity. It's what we call the Trinity. That's not a word that appears in the Bible, but it's God, it's the Spirit, and it's Jesus. And so this community created, and we began to see that this community created out of love. It was a community of love that could not help but continue to create and continue to speak things into existence, to where we get beautiful images all around this world. I mean, this is why we can reject the ancient idea that these things are important. It is important because God created out of love. And we can make a difference in this world today. We're not here by accident because God loved us and created. And so this creation account of Genesis 1 speaks against the ancient idea, and it speaks against the modern idea as well. So you are here for a purpose. There is beauty in this world. There is good in the world. We can enjoy it. N.T. Wright asked this question in a book called For All God's Worth. And he asked this, what is the most beautiful thing you have experienced this week? Take a second, just think about that. What is the most beautiful thing you have experienced this week? He gives some examples in his book. Listen to what he writes. He says, maybe it's something that you heard. Beautiful music, perhaps in church or in a cathedral. Maybe it was something of the world of nature, the sun breaking through the mist, or beautiful autumn leaves when he was writing. Maybe it was something that you smelt, a rose or a good meal cooking. Maybe it was something that you tasted, an exquisite wine, a special cheese, or that meal that you had smelt now ready to be ate. Maybe it was something you experienced. Maybe in work, things suddenly came together and worked out in another unexpected new opportunity. It might have been something that you experienced in a human relationship, a quiet, gentle glance, or from someone you love dearly, or maybe the soft squeeze of a child's hand. And then he says this, I want to suggest to you that our ordinary experiences of beauty are given to us to provide a clue, a starting point, a signpost from which we move on to recognize, to glimpse, to be overwhelmed by, to adore, and so to worship, not just the majesty, but the beauty of God himself. You see, in the goodness of creation around us, we begin to see the beauty of God, and we realize that it was out of love that he gave grace upon grace into our life. Dallas Willer talked about this as well in one of his books that he wrote. He talked about how he was staying in South Africa, and the people he was staying with invited him to go to a specific beach called Port Elizabeth. And he said, as they came over the rise, he said, it was the most beautiful scene he had ever seen. He'd been to many beaches, but nothing compared to the view that he saw there that day. It could not be captured in words. And he realized in that moment that this thing that he saw just for this first time in his life is something God sees every day. And it's not just that scene. He sees all the beauties in this world and in this universe on a daily basis. And he said this, he said, all of the good and beautiful things from which we occasionally drink tiny droplets of soul exhilarating joy, God continually experiences in all the breadth and depth and richness. Why are we so moved by the beauty of the world? Because God created it to be good and for us to enjoy it. Because he loves us. He created us in his image. And so the first message that we get of this great story is that you are created out of love. That God loved you and he created this world to be good. And the psalmist writes it this way in Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the works of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out from all the earth. Their words to the ends of the world. In heaven, God has pitched a tent for the sun. It is the bridegroom coming out of its chamber like a champion rejoicing to run its course. And it rises on one side of the heaven and it makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. It is the beauty of creation that we see. The very first act is that God, out of love, created us in his image to enjoy all of the good that he created. And so if that's true, then why is there so much ugliness? Why is there so much pain in the world? Well, that's act two. You're going to have to come back next week for that one. But I think we already have an idea, don't we? We already have an idea because the problem comes that instead of humans singing the song of creation over and over again, we wanted to sing our song, our own songs over and over again. In our selfishness, we've squandered the beauty and good. And like the modern world, we make the things of this world into a god itself, worshiping the creator, worshiping the thing that has been created instead of the creator himself. And so we fast forward to Kenny's going to preach about in Act 4 of the story. Jesus came into the world. The one who spoke matter into existence becomes matter. The one who was created goes to the cross to become decreated. The one who made becomes unmade so that we could be recreated and remade. And so when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we are viewed through his blood and we are called good again. Because God sees us through him, not through the deeds that we do. We are not saved by our actions, but we're saved by what Jesus did on the cross for us. And it rights the wrongs of this world. And so when we finish this story of Act 1 right now, or at least this part of the story, the challenge is for us to see God in this story over and over again, and then to see where we fit in to this story. Because when we finish over in Act 6, when we get to Revelation 22, we're going to see the new heaven and the new earth coming down to this earth. Not us escaping to another world, but it coming down to us. And we begin to catch a glimpse throughout the Bible that the new heaven and the new earth come together in you. That when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, when you make him king of your life, the Spirit resides in you and heaven and earth come together in you. And so it does matter how I treat my neighbor. It does matter the idea of social justice, that I'm caring for those who are my neighbors, no matter how they vote in the upcoming election, no matter what they believe, no matter what world they come from, whether another world or this world, whether they come from another country or from this country. It doesn't matter the color of their skin, that we stand up for them. And we love them because they were created in the image of God. This is what we talked about at the prom of the stars. Wasn't it? That on that night at the dance, all those with special needs came together with us, and we were able to see the image of God in so many different forms and all of its beauty. Over and over again, we see this. And so it matters how I treat my neighbor. It matters how I treat this world, because I don't believe that this world is just going to all burn up. I believe that the Bible teaches that God is going to use a purifying fire and he's going to burn off the sin and dross of this world. But those things that are good and right and holy that I do in this world will carry on, because those are the things of God. And I hope you believe this as well, because it matters how I treat the world. It matters how I treat my neighbor because a heaven and earth are already coming together in me and in you. And when people see us, they ought to see that. God, out of love, created us in his image to enjoy all of the good that he created. Act 1 tells this great story, but you've got to begin to see yourself in the story so that heaven and earth come together in you. Not that you are the star of the story. You're not. God is. Jesus is. But your place within the story. In late 2012, 75-year-old Marion Shurtleff purchased a Bible at a used bookstore in San Clemente, California. She took the Bible home and she began to flip through the Bible that she purchased, and she discovered a paper that was stuck in there, and it was yellowed. It had been there for a while, and she opened it up and it had handwriting, and to her surprise, she recognized the handwriting. It was her own handwriting. It was what she was looking at was a 4-page essay that she had written as a 10-year-old in Covington, Kentucky, some 2,000 miles away. She had written it to earn a merit badge for the Girl Scouts. And here it was in a Bible that she had purchased over 2,000 miles away in many, many years later. She had no idea how it got there and was never able to find out how it got there, but it was something that moved her to tears to open the Bible that she purchased and to see her name written in the Bible. But this is what we are to do, isn't it? When you open the Bible, you might not see your name written in it, but your name is there. Because God created you in his image out of love, and he wanted you to see that, and he wanted you to know that before he even gave you any law to live by or any way to live. He wanted you to know you were created in love, and the world was created for goodness. And so when we go out and live that, people around the world began to see it. They began to see God sightings, just the way Jeff talked about. You began to see small things and how they line up, and you realize there is a God in this world still giving us grace upon grace. God, out of love, created us in his image to enjoy all the good that he created. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would help us today as we begin this great story to realize that it was created in goodness and that you are a God of love who created out of love and continues to give grace upon grace. That's hard sometimes for us to believe when we see pain and hurt in this world, when we see things happening around the world, when we hear of earthquakes and war. It's hard for us to remember. But Father, help us to be the one living our life in a way that we show goodness to the world around us. Father, thank you for that love. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen.